places. Everyone.
We're now broadcasting.
Roll the tape in. 3, 2.
A new audio drama.
Appaloosa Radio is where stories come alive. Appaloosa Radio is proud to offer City of 4,000 Spies, Episode 2, The Beast. City of 4,000 Spies, City of 4,000 Spies, City of 4,000 Spies, City of 4,000 Spies, City of 4,000 Spies.
Each morning for the previous 3 months, Dusko Rurko, the second son of the 19th great nobleman of Sasko, rose early and took the pleasure boat out to the small island in the remarkable Lake of the Many Colors. He brought with him a sack lunch and a hat to protect him from the intense solar radiation of the blue sun. During the quarter cycle of the blue sun, most residents of Lal stayed indoors fearing the epidermal effects of the solar radiation. Dusko Rurko had the extremely fair purple skin so typical of the people of Sasko. It would have been prudent for him to stay indoors. Venturing out posed a danger to him. Yet, every morning he took the pleasure boat to the island and paid his admission to the now run-down zoological garden. There, he would sit on a particular bench for an hour or so, slowly eating the contents of his sack lunch. After finishing his sack lunch, he would take the boat back to his hotel and continue with his regular daily activities. In a posh city where you can get any pleasure, recreational opportunity, drug, potion, or experience, Rurko had selected one of the very most sedate of the city's opportunities.
Welcome to my humble kitchen, most noble Sundosko Rego. I received your instructions. I've never cooked anything like that. Are you sure that is what you want for your sack lunch?
Completely sure. And I want it cooked just as my instructions specified.
I would not call it cooking. More like rotting. Putrid. Absolutely putrid. Maggots. Tapeworms. Grook flies. Putrid.
Chef, I recognize your culinary abilities. However, I insist. Just as my instructions specified. No changes. No alterations. Place it in the sack that I have provided. Have it ready for me in the morning. I'll pay well. Very well.
I am here to make our guests happy, to meet whatever dietary needs our guests have.
Let me emphasize, as my instructions specified, no changes. I am taking it with me on the early boat to the Pleasure Island. I need it ready when the boat departs.
Yes, just as you have requested.
Ashore for Zoological Island. Please remember that this boat returns at 1100 hours. Enjoy your visit.
The zoological garden had originally been a gift of the kingdom JG, bringing unusual creatures from within its massive sector to Lel for the pleasure of visitors. It proved immensely successful, drawing many thousands of visitors from across numerous sectors. Later, the Empire Shayot, not to be outdone, expanded the zoological garden, adding water features and special lighting to the exhibits. The Empire also brought creatures from its various worlds. For 10 centuries, the zoological garden on Lel had been a you-must-see display. Everyone sought to come to it. As a result, the zoological garden expanded, expanded again, and expanded even yet again. At its peak, the zoological garden occupied 1/8 of the planet. Then the great morality fell upon Lel. The gaming tables and the casinos were closed. The Koopsy girls and the juice bars were banned. The damnation races with their flaming crashes and perpetual toll of death and destruction were closed. Excess and extravagance were replaced by moderation and temperance. Matrimonial fidelity became required. Violations were punished severely. Clothing lost its vibrant colors and became monochromatic. Religious services replaced recreation. Loud voices became hushed. One noticeable consequence of the great morality was a revulsion against using creatures for pleasure. Creatures were no longer consumed as food or kept within enclosures for the viewing pleasure of tourists. The public media howled that keeping creatures for the pleasure of others was barbaric and morally reprehensible. So, the great zoological garden closed. Its staff began an extensive effort to return the creatures to their original natural habitat. However, the incessant wars had destroyed much, and, for many species, there was no longer any natural habitat to return to. The managers of the zoological garden also discovered that many of the species that had been in its exhibits had evolved such that they could no longer function in the worlds from which they were originally taken. All of which meant that, for some species, there was no alternative to keeping them within protected enclosures. It was the only habitat in which they could now survive in. The small sanatorium was moved to the island of the lake, served only by the pleasure boat. A mere handful of visitors made the trek out to it.
I have never been here. In all the years that I have been coming to Lel, I have never been here. Looks pretty dilapidated. Needs lots of repairs.
That's why I chose it. No listening devices. Only this forsaken collection of aging creatures. Nobody cares about them. Nobody cares about this place. Once this was the greatest zoological display in the galaxy. Now, it is just a sanatorium for aging beasts. Spooky. Give me the materials and I'll be gone.
Here's what you bought. And I've got something extra.
The spy never saw Urko's laser knife. Urko slashed him multiple times in the briefest of milliseconds.
Just to let you know, this is what I think of traitors who sell out their people.
PNB7Q here, noble son. I have received your signal. Are you ready for pickup?
Affirmative. We'll meet up on the other side of the island.
believe me, no one comes to Lille to watch the lake. No, Lille is an international city where guests from a million different sectors are fully welcomed, as long as their cash holds out. It is where one comes to mine the most precious mineral of all, the mineral of information. They say that the resort city of Lille has over 4,000 spies. That's not counting the taxi drivers, the hotel staff, the far-cart dealers in the casino, the uni barkeepers, the Antonine fortune tellers, and the ever-present Coopsie girls, any one of whom will gladly gather whatever information that is requested, for a sizable tip. Lille is where information is acquired, bartered, stolen, resold, confirmed, and falsified. Rumors, rumors about rumors, and the possibility of even more rumors fill the luxury suites with spies of every shape, size, language family, and quadrant of origin.
Mirko, the second son of the 19th great nobleman of Sasco, was probably Lel's most recognizable spy. He was handsome, athletic, and ingenious. He wore flashy high-end fashion and drove a speeder that broke 1.75. He was seldom seen without a bevy of beautiful females and was often described with that old-fashioned word playboy, although no one knew what it meant. He looked the part of a spy. He moved in the nuanced way that spies moved. If you asked him, "What is your occupation?" he would smugly smile and say, "I am a spy, of course." If you would follow up with another question, "Who are you spying for?" he would again smirk, "Whoever pays me the most." However, he was already wealthy beyond imagination.
Dusko.
Yes.
Dusko.
My dear Dusko, I have been searching through many millions of minds to find you. And now I have the apodictic certainty this is you. I met you at the now nearly defunct Zoological Garden. Of course, you did not meet me. You had other business and I did not yet want you to meet me. Besides, you would not recognize me. I am, you see, the pond scum floating in enclosure number 359. That's correct. Your very agile brain is communicating with a patch of despicable pond scum. But, my dear Dusko, I have talents. I have abilities. I have skills. I have knowledge. I am very old. Very old. Unspeakably old. I am offering friendship, companionship, and access to information that you do not now have. I am very old, but I have skills and abilities that can assist you in your secret work. Assist you in protecting your beloved homeland, Sasco. I know who you are. I know what you do. I seek your friendship. I seek companionship. I'm very old. Very old. I am very lonely. We'll exchange companionship for access to information. Information you desperately seek to acquire. I am old and I am lonely. I desperately seek your friendship.
Wow. What a strange dream. Pond scum was talking to me. What a strange dream. Pond scum was talking to me. What a strange dream. Pond scum was talking to me. Asking for friendship. Very strange. I never dream. I am feeling this is some kind of trick. I am being duped into something.
Dusko, Dusko, you were not dreaming. It was me. I have been searching for you and finally found you. I am a creature with many talents. I can help you. All I ask in return is companionship and friendship. I am very old. Very, very old. I am lonely. I need companionship.
I am feeling this is some kind of trick. I am being duped into something. I sense the hand of my enemies.
Dusko, today you are planning to lunch with Vice Commander Burian, your training coordinator back when you attended the military academy. He has information you are seeking. Information that he is hiding from you. To prove my worth, I will supply the information you are seeking, and I will provide it before the meeting. All I ask is that you visualize Burian. Good. Now remember the tone of his voice. Good. Pause, just a micron. Now, I have it. Shall I transmit it to your associate PNB7Q so they can verify it? They can also research my entire history and generate a full report for you. Again, I seek only companionship. I have no ulterior motive. It is not my intent to harm you. Nor is it my intent to compromise your secret status.
This is PNB7Q, Noble Son. I have received a signal from an unknown source. It seems to be a detailed battle plan for an invasion of the Malthusan system by the Empire Shyot. I also note that the signal indicates that Vice Commander Burian intends to ask you to gather additional information about Malthusan battle cruisers. There is a cloaking mechanism that is of special concern to the Empire's General Staff. The message ends in continuing friendship 359 Pandy. Strange indeed.
PNB7Q. Please conduct a thorough investigation and report the results to me. I may have a new, most unexpected friend.
Noble Son, acknowledging your request.
Pandi, I have never had such a lunch. It does not match the cultural traditions of Sasko. The chef at the hotel who prepared it became wretchedly ill from smelling
it.
Dusko, for one who has only artificial silicon for centuries, real, home-style food smells delicious.
How shall I feed it to you?
Dusko, I want you to ingest it, as you would any meal. I'll dematerialize it and acquire its nutrients cerebrally.
I am sorry, but it's difficult for me to do. I am afraid that I may mimic the hotel's chef.
Dusko, I'll cover it with a cerebral blanket. That way, it will taste delicious to you. Probably the best thing that you have ever eaten.
I'll take you at your word. Now, taking a bite. You were right. Really delicious. Incredibly good.
Yes, I am now getting it. How wonderful. Almost as good as sex in a rainstorm.
Sex in a rainstorm? I have always been a dry land kind of guy. But, it might be worth a try. Hey, Pondy, tell me more.
Pondy 359 did not respond. Too engrossed in dematerializing and cerebrally digesting the very best meal in many, many centuries. Good.
PNB7Q, please share what you have learned about our new friend.
Noble son, I have been able to trace the new friend's history back to a planetary system conquered by the Kingdom JG during the Third Triennium. At first, the Kingdom JG believed that the planetary system was lifeless, but then they discovered subterranean fissures where various life forms existed. The data seem to indicate that Pondy 359 may have been one of those life forms.
A life form living in subterranean fissures. Warm and very damp, I presume.
Noble son. That presumption appears supported by the available data.
Any evidence of the peculiar mental abilities that we are experiencing?
None of the naturalist reports mention such mental abilities. However, they did find that Pondy's species undergoes substantial metamorphosis. Indeed, it morphs into three distinct forms. First, there is the free-floating form like algae. The form that Pondy 359 has called pond scum. The second form is a morph into a winged creature, not dissimilar to the bald eagle on Earth. The third is a carnivorous, multi-legged creature reaching some 50 meters in height. It is that third form that was captured by Kingdom JG during the Third Triennium and brought to the Zoological Garden on Lel. It was a featured species in the exhibits.
But that was many centuries ago.
Yes, that is true. Many centuries ago. Well before the Zoological Garden was forced to close in the Great Morality.
So, Pondy 359 was one of the creatures left behind. One that could not be repopulated within its original habitat. Do we know why?
Unfortunately, the records are incomplete. Much is missing. The PNB7Q could find no records for your new friend.
That leaves the question. Why was Pondy 358 left behind? Left behind in the very dilapidated sanatorium for aging beasts. Was it Pondy's choice? Was it because they feared her? Or, did they simply forget her?
Noble son. You might ask your new friend. It could be an interesting conversation.
Unfortunately, the conversation never happened. Other events intervened. Mirko noticed that PX Quam, a spy for the Empire Shyote, was following him. Mirko had worked with PX Quam on a previous assignment, but had found his performance wholly unsatisfactory. Abysmal spy craft. Could not even do the most basic things. His poor performance had cost a valuable informant her life. Mirko had told his superiors that he would never work with PX Quam again. Yet, there was no doubt. This appalling individual was following Mirko. He had even spoken to the hotel's chef about the unusual lunches that Mirko was taking with him on the pleasure boat to the rundown zoological garden. When Mirko saw PX Quam on the small pleasure boat heading to the island in the lake, he knew that there was a real danger that Pondy 359 would be exposed. As he paid his nominal admission fee, Dusko Mirko was extremely worried.
Pondy 359, I know you are accessing my mind and I believe you can appreciate the danger that I have placed you in by my carelessness. I will not sit on my usual bench and share our usual lunch. Instead, I will explore the outer exhibits of the zoological garden. Maybe I can trick PX Quam that I am here to pick up a drop.
Pondy 359 did not respond to Rurko's mental message. Instead, the gurgling noises usually associated with the equipment stopped. Mirko made a quick mental note. The noises that he believed were associated with the equipment were in fact noises controlled by Pondy herself. She had the ability to control inanimate machines. Mental note aside, Mirko was in a place where exposure was extremely likely.
Pondy 359. I know you can read PX Quam's meager brain. Block him. Block him quickly.
It did not sound like Pondy's usual voice. It was high-pitched and shrill like a bird's song. It said, "Leave the lunch behind. We'll take care of the rest."
Leave the lunch behind. We'll take care of the rest.
Mirko left his sack lunch and his hat on a bench and then used the bathroom facilities. When he returned, both were gone. PX Quam had taken the bait. When the pleasure boat returned, Mirko boarded it, but PX Quam was not aboard. As the boat plowed across the lake of many colors, the same high-pitched and shrill voice came to him.
Mr. PX Quam did not enjoy his lunch. He may have to seek medical attention.
Mirko was certain he heard a laugh. Really a giggle. A laugh like a child's laugh. One who has played a most gleeful prank.
PNB7Q, we need to extract Pondy 359 as soon as possible. We will bring her to Sasko. We cannot risk her abilities falling into the clutches of our enemies.
Noble son, I agree completely with your decision. The problem that I see is that Pondy 359 is being held in her exhibit with a genetic lock. The lock prevents her escape from her enclosure. The way such a lock works is that if the creature leaves its enclosure, its DNA is destroyed. Literally erased. The lock on Pondy 359 was created using an ancient technology that we no longer understand. It might take some time to work out all the particulars. We must rethink the problem in the way these ancients did.
PNB7Q, time is of the essence.
I will put every available resource on it. I am happy to report that the creature Pandy 359 has been successfully extracted from the zoological garden on Lel and is on a transport craft heading to Sasko.
Very welcome news, PNB7Q.
There was, however, Noble Sun, just one unexpected surprise.
An unexpected surprise?
Yes. It seems that your friend Pandy 359 was not alone. She brought with her 942 of her children. Exact clones of your friend.
How will we care for so many creatures?
I am working on it, Noble Son. I hope to have the nurseries finished by the time the transport arrives in Sasko.
Unfortunately, the transport never arrived in Sasko.
Dusko. Most unfortunately, a serious diplomatic situation has emerged with one of the major powers, the Kingdom JG. It grieves me to say that it was caused by your erstwhile friend from the zoological garden. The creature you encountered has morphed itself into a bloodthirsty beast intent on revenge for past wrongs. It attacked a colony of the Kingdom JG, murdering 15,000 of its inhabitants. A terrible situation. The JG have attempted military action against it, but to no avail. It has skills and abilities to subvert their most sophisticated weapon systems. They are blaming Sasko for the catastrophe. They have threatened to break our long-standing neutrality. My son, your actions caused this situation. I know your intentions were noble, but the consequences have been devastating. Therefore, as your father and as your liege lord, I order you to find a way to destroy this beast. The Kingdom JG is demanding its execution. They are demanding action immediately.
Literature is replete with tales of brave warriors battling beasts. According to these stories, such fights are heroic, filled with opportunities for both opponents to succeed. But always, yes always, the warrior eventually locates a weakness in the beast and uses it to kill him. And, as a result, reaps the rewards of victory. There is a reason why these stories all have a similar plot and, thus, lead to the same ending. The audiences listening to the story would have it no other way. Yet, literature is not reality. Before issuing his personal challenge, Maruko asked PNB7Q to carefully study Pandy's beast morphology, looking for places of potential weakness. PNB7Q could find none. A creature with 86 pairs of legs, any one of which could also be used as arms to skillfully handle a bladed weapon. A beak with a piercing point and large, sharp teeth for ripping flesh. 6 hearts. Lungs that can sustain the beast on poison air. Eyesight like the proverbial eagle. Extraordinary hearing. An olfactory system equivalent to the American beagle that can smell carrion 3 miles away. PNB7Q could find no weakness for Urko to exploit. PNB7Q assessed the probability of Urko's success as less than 10%. Its report read, a capable adversary with heightened mental abilities and an extreme physical system capable of inflicting considerable harm. The beast had one additional advantage in its coming battle. It was able to choose the terrain. It selected a steep canyon, bathed in the perpetual moisture of a large waterfall system. This was its kind of place. The canyon walls were tight, twisting, and extremely moist. The location precluded many modes of attack. No attack from below was possible. Attacks from the sides were also extremely problematic. The beast's articulated body wormed its way through the canyon, often filling the canyon completely.
Pundi, I know that you can read my every thought. I know also that you have planned your revenge for many centuries. You have, therefore, advantages I do not have. Nonetheless, I am compelled to end this rampage and to subdue you. I will put every effort into this endeavor. If necessary, I shall die in the attempt.
I no longer respond to the name Pandy. I am no longer Pondscum bound in an enclosure by a genetic lock, frozen in weakness, paralyzed by the inability to act.
What shall I call you then?
Call me the Beast.
I will not call you that. No, I will continue to call you. My friend. My friend. My friend.
My friend, I tricked you into freeing me. I selected you from the many that I could have selected. I selected you because I sought a warrior worthy of my status to battle me. Friends until death.
I am honored to have been selected as your opponent. Nonetheless, I remain your friend. Friends until death and beyond.
It selected a steep canyon, bathed in the perpetual moisture of a large waterfall system. This was its kind of place. The canyon walls were tight, twisty, and extremely moist. The location precluded many modes of attack. No attack from below was possible. Attacks from the sides were also extremely problematic. The beast's articulated body wormed its way through the canyon, often filling the canyon completely. An attack down the canyon, hugging its walls, ran directly into the beast's most lethal weapons. The narrow slit exposed from the top might offer a point of attack. However, since the beast's articulated segments could rotate 360 degrees, many appendages were directed toward protecting an attack from above. Not with strength, but with annoyance. He approached the deep canyon flying a small reconnaissance craft. It was not fast. It was not armed. It was not even current state of the art. Its only assets were its quickness and maneuverability. He called his strategy the fly. He would buzz in and buzz out between the appendages, annoying the beast. The strategy posed great risk. The beast was incredibly intelligent, and it had full access to Urko's every thought.
Fly. Buzz. Annoy. Annoy her.
He would know when he planned to zizz and zag in. By anticipating Rurko's moves, he could easily capture or destroy him. even at best, Mirko knew, he could use the tactic only a limited number of times. The beast would grasp what he was intending to do and respond accordingly.
Oh.
However, the considerable time that Mirko and Pondy had spent together in genuine friendship gave Mirko an advantage that the beast did not realize. Mirko knew that while the beast had formidable physical weapons, she would much prefer to beat Mirko in a mental game than in a physical one. It is far less enjoyable to crush your opponent with your massive teeth than to outwit him. Which meant that Mirko's annoyance routine really frustrated the beast. And this is important, Mirko used a trick that he had first learned in the military academy. One of the many drills that cadets endured in the academy was the prisoner torture drill. Since the military academy was run by the Empire Shayot, cadets were forced to actually experience extreme torture. Cadets were taught that one way to endure torture was to sing something meaningless. To sing it over and over and over. Mirko chose a traditional English nursery rhyme and began singing it again and again and again.
Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again.
Although the beast was extremely intelligent, Mirko's strategy left her befuddled.
What was he doing? Why? What will be next? Does he have a weapon that he is hiding? This makes no sense. Why is he doing this? Why is he doing this? Why is he doing this?
The beast's befuddlement left her unable to act, unable to respond. She did not notice what was now above the canyon walls.
Bomber Squadron 1, commence attack. Bomber Squadron 2, follow in. Next order pattern. Bomber Squadron 3, unlock weapon systems and prepare to initiate bombing run on my command. Mark. Initiate. Commence.
The Kingdom JG's Super Stratobullion bombers attacked the canyon with the ferocity of Armageddon. Each craft dropped its full payload of the most devastating military ordnance. Needless to say, after the third wave of Super Strato dropped its complement of heavy-duty bombs, what had been a tight, twisty canyon was now a crater 7 kilometers deep and 3 kilometers wide. Utter and complete destruction.
Cover the entire area with the genetic locks. The beast and her children cannot be allowed to ever escape.
Sorry,
old friend. I know I did not play by the rules, but you left us with no other choice. No other choice. No other choice. No other choice.
About a year later, Dushko Rurko was tasked with a new mission that took him again to the posh resort city of Lel. Individual player privately. Only the player sees these cards. Then, each player uses both the cards in common view and the cards in their own hands to generate a playing hand with the maximum number of points. Since some cards are held privately, other players do not know what type of hand an opponent can generate. The game is further complicated because some cards are multiplier cards which can increase the value of other cards. Other cards are subtraction cards, which, hopefully, are discarded immediately before a player reveals their final hand. However, a player may freeze the bet and thus prevent an opponent from discarding a subtraction card. So, Yacht is a game of strategy. It is also for the professional gamblers a game that requires noticing subtle differences, enabling a player to gain advantage over others. Dushko Rurko was in the casino when he saw an old adversary playing the card game Yacht. He decided to join the table for a few hands. Rurko watched his adversary carefully, knowing that he was playing against a professional. One who made his considerable income with the cards. Rurko had played him before and had lost many thousands.
It is worth a few thousand to discover what clues this professional adversary uses to defeat me. I must be doing something that tips him off.
Then, to Urko's considerable surprise, he found that he could suddenly see the cards that the adversary was playing. And he could see them from the adversary's point of view. That is, Rurko was intercepting images from the adversary's brain. Watching himself from the adversary's view, Rurko could see that sometimes he unconsciously touched a card with his middle finger indicating that he was contemplating discarding it.
So that is how he can do it. I am tipping him off that I have a card that I need to discard. Very small mannerism, but he caught it.
After a few hands in which the adversaries tested each other out, Rurko decided to use this new information to his advantage.
I'll raise you 12,000.
He could clearly see the cards held privately in the adversary's hand. He knew how many points he needed to win the hand. He touched a high-ranking multiplier card as if he intended to discard it. The adversary took the bait. The adversary responded by matching and raising another 125,000. Then, he used the slap of the table indicated that he had frozen the bet and thus, prevented any further discards. He believed that he had stuck Rurko with a dreaded subtraction card.
I see that the hands are frozen. That means I must play the cards I have. Please reveal. 74,000 points. Very respectable. Two multiplier cards. No subtraction cards. Very respectable. However, I think this is a bit better. Four multiplier cards. No subtraction. 83,000 points. The pot, I believe, is mine.
As Virko left the gaming tables, he heard a voice from deep in his brain. It was one he knew well.
Dusko, my friend. Just a trick I left in your brain. Think of me the next time you use it. Your friend Pandy.
Appaloosa Springs Audio Theater is a creative collaboration whose purpose is to write, produce, and share original story content through webcast radio experiences.